Hi, I'm Dr. Casey Mixon, Assistant Professor at Valdosta State University and Project Director for the Military Families Learning Network Family Development Team. We created this podcast to provide a space not only to learn about timely topics faced by military families, but also to explore accessible resources. Anchors throughout history have been a symbol of stability and groundedness. We hope our episodes provide you with a bit of respite to think about how the topics can influence your professional and personal growth. So sit back, relax, and get anchored with us. Some time ago, Penn State's Clearinghouse for Military Family Readiness and the Department of Defense's Office of Military Community and Family Policy partnered to develop the Thrive Initiative, which is a continuum of parenting programs for parents of children that range from birth to age 18. This Thrive Initiative focuses on three important areas: positive parenting practices, parent and child stress management, and also physical health promotion. We have featured in the past aspects of the Thrive Initiative, but we thought it'd be beneficial to see how they've evolved and are proving helpful for parents and families. Three of the four Thrive programs are now available online at no cost. Starting in October 2019, the Military Families Learning Network will host a series of webinars highlighting these programs and the available resources that are included within them. In today's podcast episode, we have two guests from Clearinghouse that will discuss Thrive and jumpstart our series. They'll be giving an overview of the programs within this initiative that connect to various childhood age cohorts. So we have with us today Terry Rudy and Dr. Ryan Chestnut. Terry is the Research and Evaluation Associate at the Clearinghouse for Military Family Readiness and the Project Manager for the Resource Center for Improving Family Health Behaviors. Terry has been a part of the Clearinghouse since 2012 and currently manages the outreach and communication efforts for several applied social science research projects. Terry has been involved in the development and implementation of programs and projects that are focused on promoting health among military families, including the programs that fall within the Thrive Initiative. We also have Dr. Ryan Chestnut, who is an assistant research professor at Clearinghouse. His primary research interests include parent-child interactions, family well-being, and program evaluation. At the Clearinghouse, Dr. Chestnut is involved in not only the development and dissemination of the Thrive programs, but also the evaluation. So thanks so much for joining us today. Let's get started with really talking about what prompted the development of this Thrive Initiative that both of you are involved with.
The Thrive Initiative was developed as a collaboration between the Clearinghouse and the Department of Defense's Office for Military Community and Family Policy. The DoD was really looking for a parenting program that could be used across all of the services. So we came together to help develop that because we know military families have unique stressors like frequent moves and deployments. So they wanted a parenting program that military families could use that was available at no cost to them. They also wanted the program to be available to the civilian population as well.
Right. I think there was a recognition that so many military families are living off installation right now. And when you also consider National Guard and Reserve families, a lot is really happening in the community. And I think that the Department of Defense was looking for an opportunity to be able to reach out to and connect with both military and civilian families.
And that's how the Thrive Initiative was born.
Yes. Yeah. So the Thrive Initiative kind of came out of the DoD approaching the Clearinghouse and saying, this is what we'd like to have happen. Can you make that happen for us?
And initially it started with the GROW program, which is for the 5 to 10 year olds. And then we've, you know, kind of started to develop the other programs after GROW, because that was their biggest need at the time, was for that age range.
Right, right. There were a series of conversations that we had with our partners at the DoD that really centered around trying to better understand their vision of what they wanted, while also trying to understand best practice for how to make that happen in a realistic kind of way. So to give you an example of that, when we were first approached by the DoD, they kind of gave the impression that they just wanted one parenting program that parents of 0 to 18-year-olds could take. And so we kind of engaged in deeper conversations with them about what they were really after, what they really wanted, you know, this idea of supporting families, supporting parents, strengthening healthy child development. And through that conversation, we were able to kind of help them understand that if you really want to accomplish those sorts of goals, you can't really have one program that does it all. Child development and parenting in particular look very different for parents of infants versus parents of elementary school students versus parents of teenagers. A lot of things are the same, warm, loving support, but a lot of things look differently. Parents of teenagers have a different set of challenges, I guess you could say, than parents of infants do. And so we, as Terry mentioned, had that conversation of trying to figure out, well, how do we break these things up developmentally, looking at parenting at different stages of a child's development. And there definitely was a push to start with that elementary school program, which is GROW, which I imagine we'll get to a little bit later in more detail.
And it seems like at every stage, you're really helping parents to build awareness and skill sets to really contribute to their metaphorical toolbox in really helping kids thrive.
Each of the developmental stages are developmentally appropriate areas. They each focus on positive parenting practices, child and stress management, and then child health promotion. So that's kind of the overarching umbrella across all four of the programs.
And I think this dovetails nicely into, well, first of all, Clearinghouse has, you know, very well-known commitment to evidence-based practice that I'm sure has influenced the development and also the implementation and evaluation strategies of the Thrive Initiative. But can you speak a little bit about figuring out what is involved in these separate programs, like all of the different programs that are tailored to those developmental cohorts, if you will, childhood age cohorts?
Yeah, so that was definitely a learning process for all of us here at the Clearinghouse. We all had different areas of expertise when we were brought into the project that have been really helpful to the success of this project. Where it really started was we had some experience with an analytic approach called common components analysis. And what a common components analysis essentially entails is identifying a set of similar programs, going through those programs and systematically trying to pull out the components, and then look across those components to see, is there a reducible set of components that these programs seem to share in common that could potentially serve as the foundation for program success or program effectiveness. So one of the criteria for all these programs is not just that they focus on a similar topic area and a similar developmental period, but also that these programs have strong evidence base behind them. And so that process was heavily utilized in the development of GROW. And from there, we had some internal conversations, some internal meetings, where we were trying to nail down sort of what the process needed to be going forward. We knew GROW was sort of our first attempt at this, and I think an excellent attempt. I think GROW is a fantastic program. But we knew that we could do better. You can always learn more. You can always make improvements. And we knew that we could do that. And so we had a series of conversations about how to introduce a bit more structure into the process. And so through that, we kind of came up with sort of this 12 decision point document that kind of outlines the different steps and strategies that we want to make sure we're following for all of our Thrive program development projects. And so just to give you a couple quick snapshots of what's in that 12 step process, one obviously is the common components analysis, but another would be a theory of change. So we draft a very clear theory of change for all of these programs, having conversations about what do we expect this program to accomplish? What sorts of parenting behaviors should it be targeting? What sorts of child outcomes are legitimate outcomes that one can expect to have from this process? What are the main developmental or psychological theories that we want to rely upon in order to put the substance into the content to drive that change for participants? Another area is we kind of have lengthy conversations about delivery format. How are these programs going to be delivered? Historically, a lot of parenting programs have been delivered either sort of in individual sessions with generally a counselor or a therapist, or group-based formats where you have a number of parents coming together, possibly 10 or 12, maybe 15 parents coming together into a group, meeting weekly for a set number of weeks and being taught by a trained facilitator. And so we kind of had conversations about what was going to be the delivery mechanism for these programs. One of the things that we'll talk about, I think, a little bit later is where we really started seeing the field moving and where our partners at the DoD agreed with is really trying to utilize online delivery formats or web-based delivery formats as much as possible, especially when dealing with the military population, considering that they have things like frequent deployments or PCSing and they're moving. It might be difficult for them to be able to consistently attend a group-based program or to even be able to meet with a counselor or a therapist in any sort of individual sessions for any sort of consistent period of time. And so those are just some of the decision points that go into the development of these programs.
I think also to add to that, since the Thrive Initiative also has the health promotion component, we also research and identify specific parenting strategies that are used to promote healthy behaviors in children and families, and pull that information from health recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics or the Institute of Medicine. And that's also part of our 12 decision points,
yes,
you know, and bringing all of that information together to build the whole package of the program.
It's really interesting, too, that you were bringing up, Ryan, the theory of change. That's one of the things that undergirds the vision and kind of overarching goals with the Military Families Learning Network. So we're intimately familiar with that particular theory and have become more and more as a network. So tell me a little bit about, if I was a consumer of Thrive, if I was a military parent, how is Thrive designed? Like, walk me through what that might look like if I'm trying to access it. How do I access it? You know, you talked a lot about being web-based and online and kind of meeting my needs if I'm PCSing or, you know, we're in the midst of some sort of transition, but what would that look like for me if I were a military parent that wanted to access?
So first, it depends on really the age of your child, you know, what you're looking for. So there are four developmental age-appropriate areas. We have Take Root, which is available for parents and caregivers of children, well, from birth to 3 years old. And then there's Sprout, which is for parents and caregivers of children 3 to 5, so the preschool age range. And then Grow, which is available for parents and caregivers of 5 to 10-year-olds. And then lastly, there's Branch Out, which will be available for parents and caregivers of children that are 10 to 18 years old. So we have some programs that are available online, some that are in development. Take Root, so for the younger age range from birth to 3 years old, is currently available online. And it's available through the Thrive website, which is thrive.psu.edu. And there you'll see the link. It's actually in the upper right-hand corner of the page, the Take Root online curriculum. So a parent would can go there and would click on that bubble and it'll redirect them to a login page. And once they get there, they just sign up for an account. So they enter their email address and then they choose a password. And once they've done that, they have access or entry into the LMS or the learning management system where the program is based. And then they follow through the program with Take Root. That particular one has an overview. So there's about a 10-minute overview that the parent will take. And at that point, they will choose from 3 program tracks for Take Root. That one is actually divided for 0 to 6, 6 to 12 months, and then 1 to 3 years. So depending on the age of the child, a parent could choose to do just one particular track. Or if they want to, they can do 2 or they can do all of them. It's really up to them what they want to do. So once they choose the age track that they want to take, that will pop up on their screen. Each of the age tracks takes about 1.5 hours to go through. And they can do it. They do it at their own pace. They can come back to it. This particular curriculum follow kind of in chronological order. So you'll see on the side of each session, there's like a start button, a review button, so they can keep track if they need to go away from the computer or if they want to break it up over a certain time period. They can very easily come back and know where they're at.
And can they also come back, you know, let's say maybe they have an infant and they're really interested in 0 to 6 months, but yet time-wise, they can only do the take route 0 to 6 program track. But maybe, you know, a year later, they want to come back and do the 1 to 3 years. Is that a possibility? Is it?
It's absolutely possible. Oh, right. And they'll be able to see kind of where they left off. And the nice thing about the online programs for Thrive is that they're all available at no cost. So they don't have to pay a fee to come on and do it. It's accessible. It's available. They just come on. They can pick up where they left off.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the nice features about the online programs that we have is that there is no, you only have access to the materials for X amount of time, right? Like you're paying for a membership or...
Yeah, there's an expiration date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no expiration date. So parents are always able to come back and pick up where they left off. And I think one of our goals, and I think the DOD's goal as well, is that parents will continue to rely on these resources as their child reaches the new developmental period. So ideally, you would have a parent who would start with the Take Root program and then would work all the way through the Branch Out program as their child ages.
Now, they don't have to do that, but it's certainly right. available yeah. if they want to. And a nice thing, a nice feature too with the online programs is we have a parent toolkit that also has a bunch of PDF resources that are available for the parent to download. So maybe it's something you want to hang on your refrigerator, or maybe it's an activity that you want to do with your child. Things like that are available. Another thing that is available online is a recruitment toolkit. So if you're a provider or a professional that wants to recruit families to the Take Root program or to any of the other programs, there's a nice recruitment toolkit that's already been established and developed that they can pull from that to advertise the programming.
That's wonderful too. And also can be tailored if you're a service provider and you know that this family has, you know, this age range of children, you know, you can tailor whatever that toolkit is and provide those resources to the families you're working with. And then also, you know, speaking about, you know, coming back and there not being an expiration date. I mean, how nice is it for a family to know that they can just think about what's going on in their parenting roles in pieces, you know? They can cherry pick what's working for them now instead of having to maybe be overwhelmed with the thought or a training program or building skills for 0 to 18 all in one sitting or all in one training module. That can be incredibly overwhelming, especially if you have other stressors that are unique to military families. So what a nice, in comparison to other kind of parenting training modules that I know about, that alone, taking away the expiration date and also being able to kind of piecemeal it out in the time that they need it is just a wonderful thing to provide. So that was very interesting and exciting to see when I was looking over some of your materials.
Yeah. And I think with our programs too, going off what you were just saying there, one of our perspectives that we try to take is understanding that all families, especially military families, are very busy. And so we try to make these programs meaningful, but also brief. And so sometimes in the literature, there's not really a term that's stuck yet. Sometimes in the literature, I see people say things like, well, it's a brief program, or it's a low intensity program, or it's a light touch program. Mm-hmm. Whatever term you want to use, we really try to embrace that idea of giving just enough support and just as the minimum number of modules or sessions as you can give people so that they have what they need, they feel supported, they have those resources, they feel resilient and ready to be able to effectively handle the demands of parenting and everyday family life. Not feel overwhelmed that, oh my gosh, this is a 27 session program. Where am I ever going to find time to do that?
And my child's 6 months old and I have to start thinking about technology issues and when I should get them a phone, you know, which we probably by the time their child has a phone, it won't be a phone anymore. So all of those things, I'm sure go through many parents' minds. It's just really nice that you're meeting the families where they're at their own pace, because no family is the same and the circumstances surrounding where they're at for this 6 months or this year, you know, inevitably will change and vary. So that's really lovely as a service provider to know that you're meeting those families' needs. I also really liked within the Take Root program, I noticed that the track had three sessions, and I loved the way you termed the sessions: through your eyes, meaning the parents' eyes, through your baby's eyes, and then figuring out together. So can you speak a little bit more about what those entail, or give us some indication as kind of highlight a little bit more about what those three sessions are about?
Sure. And that's kind of also another one of those overarching themes or umbrellas that we have across all of the Thrive programs. So really what it means is it's looking at the perspective of the child, or in this case, the infant or toddler. So really thinking about what they may be experiencing, and then taking into account what you as the parent are experiencing, right? So understanding that there's a difference, or there could be a potential difference between what the child is thinking and what you're thinking, but then trying at lastly to figure that out together and to get on the same page. And how do you do that?
Yeah, I think there was a recognition, especially as we started digging into some of the theoretical frameworks that were going to inform Take Root. I think there was a definite recognition of the importance of perspective taking.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective taking for yourself, trying to think about where you're at. Even thinking about one of the things we encourage parents to do in this particular program is to think about their own parenting they received. So their family of origin, what did they grow up with? What was it like for them? And how that might influence or impact their current parenting practices. But thinking about that perspective for themselves, where am I coming from? Where am I at? Where am I going? So goal setting being a really big part of that as well. But also that recognition that it's really important, perspective taking is really important when you think about the other person's point of view. And in this instance, that other person is the child. So in all of our Thrive programming, this is probably something we should have said earlier, but in all of our Thrive programming, the emphasis is always on the parent-child relationship. So some parenting programs do have an emphasis on co-parenting. That's not really an emphasis that we have in our programs. Our programs really are focused more on that parent-child relationship. So the perspective-taking piece typically will always involve the parent trying to understand where the child is coming from. And I think that's really important, because a lot of misunderstanding, really in all relationships, whether it's a parent-child relationship or it's a friend relationship or it's a romantic relationship, so much misunderstanding occurs in those relationships because we're not taking the time to think about where the other person is coming from. And that can be really helpful for parents of young children, because sometimes we can be tempted to make assumptions about what our child is thinking that really, when you dig deeper, you understand it's not really realistic that the child could be thinking that, right? So when the child doesn't smile at you, you might think, oh, this child doesn't like me. You know, a one-month-old child doesn't really have the capability of that sort of cognitive complexity, if you will, to be able to make those sorts of assumptions or designations or whatever you want to call it. And so we really try to help the parent understand, coming at it from the child's perspective. So one area that I think really stands out to me in the curriculum where we do that is when a child is crying, there's sort of this explanation of the things to go through, a checklist, if you will, of parents to go through to try to really understand, why is my child crying? What's going on? Are they hungry? Are they tired? You know, and one of the things that really stood out to me, because I remember when my kids were that age, I remember this wasn't something that I probably spent a lot of time thinking about, was, is there something from a sensory perspective or a tactile perspective that might be making them uncomfortable? Maybe they don't like the socks that you put on them, right? So try taking the socks off and see if that makes a difference. And so really just trying to think through, like, what might be going on in my baby's mind right now that's causing them to behave the way they're behaving. And then that figuring it out together piece is, how can I work with my child to come to a good resolution for this particular situation?
Great. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the possibility for home visitation. Can you speak a little bit about that and what that entails in Take Root?
So for Take Root, we have also developed a home visitation program. So this is for families with high needs. It's a home-based program. And right now we are currently piloting that at Army Installations.
Yeah, so we've developed a training platform for Take Root home visitation, and we are piloting that training platform as well as piloting the curriculum with Army Installations. There's a handful of Army Installations who are participating in it. And our goal with that is just to really kind of figure out how is it being received, the sort of feasibility and implementation, how is it being received, how is it working, what are the strengths of the program, and what are areas that need to be improved in the program. So it's definitely in a pilot phase.
Well, we look forward to seeing how that evolves and kind of what comes from this piloting program within the Army. That's exciting stuff to meet the needs of families that, like you said, may need a bit more support and that face-to-face interaction. Do you want to talk a bit about Sprout? Are we ready to walk through Sprout and what that is as a program?
Yeah, I think we can go on to Sprout. So Sprout is available for parents and caregivers of children between the ages of 3 and 5. So this is the preschool age range. And Sprout is designed to follow 4 diverse families through 6 everyday moments. So we have our everyday moments are morning routine, play date, rainy day, shopping, dinner time, and then the bedtime routine. So there's 24 total scenarios. The curriculum is web-based. And again, here, the learner is going to see, they're going to see the moment from the perspective of the child. And then it's going to be the perspective of the parent. And then it's coming together and learning about the age-appropriate expectations and how they can deal with those everyday moments together. Sprout will be available this summer, so it's going to be available through the Thrive website as well, so the thrive.psu.edu. It'll be there as well for parents to go on and access. With Sprout, it's a little bit different than the Take Root and then the Grow curriculums, because with Take Root and Grow, the learner goes through and follows each session, so they don't move on to the next session until they complete the one before it. But Sprout is more of a pick and choose what you want to do. So throughout the different scenarios, say you're really struggling with bedtime routine with your child, you can go on to Sprout and access just those learning portions if you would want to. Or you can kind of pick and choose and bounce around and do the different ones depending on what's going on. And with each of those everyday moments, we have 4 different scenarios. So we were really trying to take into account different experiences that different families may have and try to hit on, you know, some that we thought might be most common and then work through those. So depending on what your particular struggle might be or something that, you know, tends to happen a lot in your household, you know, how could I help address this particular issue better, or what could I be doing better in that particular situation or in that scenario? So if you would want to start with that or only take that, you could do that and kind of bounce around a little bit.
And 24 scenarios, that's a lot, I mean, to focus on, which is great. It gives a lot of variability and options and ideas, it seems, for the parent learners.
And we really wanted to recognize that each family has they have different experiences, right? So mm-hmm. We wanted the families to be diverse. So we have like a grandmother, father, child, family, we have a traditional family, we have a single mother family, and what that kind of looks like. You know, some parents are working, some are not, and how, you know, a morning routine is going to look different for a parent who also has to go to work and get the child to some type of preschool, where it might be different for, you know, a stay-at-home parent who doesn't also have to get out the door. Maybe the child doesn't go to preschool, or maybe there's other siblings in the house. And how there can be all these different variables going on for the family depending on their makeup.
Great. And Grow, which is the program that has been available the longest, right? And that's for ages 5 to 10 years. What can you tell me about Grow, other than it's available in both online format, but also face-to-face, right?
Right. So Grow is unique in that that is currently the only Thrive initiative program that is available in both a face-to-face and online format. So the online format is, again, available just like Take Root and Sprout will be, through the Thrive website, and the parents go on and access it through the link. The online program has 8 sessions, and it also includes parent resources, and there's some take-home skills practice for the online program. The time to complete the online Grow program is about 4.5 hours. But again, with like Take Root, it'll document where you leave off so the parent can always come back to that particular spot. It'll let them know where they've left off and they can come back and access that you know, as they're available. And then the Grow Face-to-Face program. So with that particular program, we have online training that is available for this facilitator. So if you would want to, as a professional, facilitate a face-to-face program, like a face-to-face community-based program, you can go online and access the face-to-face training for the facilitator. So this particular training is available at training.thrive.psu.edu. And once you get in there, you'll see there's a general facilitator training, and then there's also the GROW-specific training. So you would take the general facilitator training first, and then the GROW-specific training is going to pop up. The general facilitator training is about 3 hours, and then the GROW-specific facilitator training is about 6 hours.
Is there a cost associated with the facilitator training?
There is not. That is also available at no cost.
And do you have to have any sort of credentialing to be a facilitator? Do you have to be a licensed therapist, or do you have to have certain degrees? Or
no, there are no hard and fast credentialing requirements for the facilitator training. We have made recommendations to certain agencies like the Department of Defense, but also a few community agencies who expressed interest in using GROW, that it might be a good idea for trainers to have a degree in child development related field or a mental health related field, or to at least have some experience delivering programs, as that might make the process a bit more efficient for them. As you can imagine, if this is the first time you've ever done anything like this and you don't have any sort of experience or knowledge about it, it might be tricky. Facilitating groups can be a tricky process, and that's why a lot of time is devoted in that general facilitator training to best practices around how to facilitate groups, because that can be a little tricky. But that said, there are no hard and fast rules. So any interested individual who has a passion and a desire to lead a GROW face-to-face group for parents could do that by visiting that website and taking the training.
And within the training, we do ask for individuals who take the training to agree. We have like a memorandum of understanding. So to kind of agree that you're going to, you know, administer the program with fidelity. And at the end, the participant will receive a certificate that they've completed the program, but it's not necessarily that they are a certified facilitator, if that makes sense.
Right. Oh, I can see this being something that appeals to those who are in child caring roles, even daycare, you know, facilities that might want to do extra, you know, have their caregivers have extra training and being well-versed on this particular training. And then also elementary educators, you know, therapists, those in advocacy roles. I mean, it has a very grand appeal to lots of different disciplines that are connected to this age group.
Yeah. One other thing that I think might be important to note about the GROW program is that both the online version and the face-to-face version, it's the same content. It's not that if you take the face-to-face version, you're getting something different than if you take the online version. It's the same content. However, it's divided up differently. So for the face-to-face program, it would be, if you were taking a face-to-face program, you would be attending 5 weekly 90-minute sessions. They're largely video-directed. What that means is that the facilitator is there to facilitate the group and do group activities and help consolidate learning and things of that nature. But there's also a video that's being played for a good portion of that meeting time where the parents are being taught by a trained video facilitator. They're also being exposed to very relatable everyday scenarios of parenting situations. And they're shown kind of two paths, right? So they're shown one path of, this is probably not the best way to handle this situation, but it's a very legitimate way that sometimes parents handle these situations. Here's a better way, or a potentially better way of handling this situation. And so they're kind of seeing that role modeling, and they're kind of seeing that happening out and going, oh, I can relate to that. That happens to me. Oh, I've done that before. Oh, I like what they're doing there. That makes a lot of sense. And the facilitator in the room is able, after those videos play, there's time for to discuss the videos. The facilitator in the room is kind of able to help kind of lead that discussion and talk about what did you like, you know, what did you notice, how does this relate to you, bringing it back to you and thinking and goal setting. in the online format, you're seeing all of the same videos. They're just being, you're just viewing them in a different way, because we recognize that trying to have somebody watch 5 videos, 90 minutes each, is really too much. So it's, I think it comes down to 8 sessions, but they're like 40-ish minutes each, right? Yeah. So it's much more manageable, but the parent is being exposed to the exact same content, information, video modeling, everything like that. They're not getting the facilitator in the room debriefing them and walking them through things, but there's interactive activities and journaling and other things that have been built into the program, into the online version of the program, to try to simulate having that live person in the room leading you through those conversations.
And what within on installation specifically, or within branches, what groups are you seeing that are utilizing this? Like new parent support groups within family advocacy programs or family readiness groups? Can you speak to that at all? I'm trying to capture, like, if we have audience members that are listening to this, how are these being implemented, and kind of plant a seed there for modeling ways to implement?
Absolutely. We think that face-to-face program or GROW could be utilized by a very large number of different organizations on an installation. Currently, at the moment, the only group that has really utilized the face-to-face version is the Family Advocacy Program, and they have been pushing it out through the prevention side of their organization. We haven't really had much going on with some of those other groups that you talked about, but we think that there would be a great fit for family readiness or child development centers. And as you mentioned earlier, there's such a wide appeal with the training to a number of different professionals and groups and organizations. It'd be really great to be able to build those relationships with those people and get it out.
I think there is some interest there. And I think that's where we're kind of coming from with we're finding some interest with NPSP for the Take Root. That's really with the Take Root home visitation program.
Great.
So with Branch Out, this one is currently in development. So we are just starting the process. We're dusting off the 12 decision point document, if you will, and really rolling up the sleeves and getting to work on developing the Branch Out program. But it's designed for parents of children ages 10 to 18. And within that, we recognize that it really needs to be broken down even more than that. 10 to 18 is a very wide age range. It's actually the biggest age range of all of our Thrive programming, GROW being the next biggest one there. But there's a lot going on in that 10 to 18 age range. The transition to middle school is a huge transition for kids. But the transition to high school is also a huge transition as well. And while middle schoolers and high schoolers share certain challenges in common, there's also unique challenges for each one of those stages of development. And we are working to be really sensitive at identifying those challenges and helping parents kind of understand where their kids are at in middle school, where their kids are at in high school, and how to support them, how to help them grow in their autonomy and their independence. These are really, especially the high school component of this, that's really going to be kind of a time period in which, you know, the recognition you've only really got a few more years with your kids before they're off and they're expected to be sort of mature, contributing members of society. And since I have a kid in the middle school age range who's about to be in the high school age range not too soon, I can tell you it's a little stressful to realize, oh, I've only got so many years left with him before he's out of the house, and hopefully I'm doing a good job. And I think that our goal there is to really help parents and support parents navigating those challenges as they do get to be, you know, a bit more serious to some extent. As we start thinking about drugs and alcohol, and as we start thinking about, at this point, really thinking a lot more about media consumption and social media. And I tell you, it's been somewhat of a challenge for the parenting field to stay on top of the gains in technology, trying to understand what parenting around technology really looks like for our children. That's going to definitely be a huge component of this program, is helping parents understand best practices and have a very large toolkit for parenting around social media and just technology in general. That can be a real trap for families.
Right. And, you know, we're doing a lot of kind of research and hopefully future trainings and programming with MFLN on youth produced images and within social media and the implications with regard to the risk of prosecution if they put something online, you know, and really focusing on the scope and the rapid evolution of technology when it can become a barrier to youth futures and how to talk to your children about that and neglecting having those conversations, really presenting barriers to, you know, futures and maybe going to college and that type of thing. So I'm really excited that you all are delving into that, especially with regard to technology. Wondering too, and this is just from my own personal curiosity, do you talk a lot and branch out, or will you be talking a lot about adolescent brain development?
Yes, I do believe that we will be devoting some time in both the middle school and the high school versions of that program talking about typical adolescent development. But yeah, excellent point, brain development, what's really going on. And I think that's going to be really key for parents too, because especially when you think about things like impulse control,
mm-hmm.
I think that impulse control, though not all parents probably know that term, all parents of teenagers are frustrated by the lack of impulse control.
Right.
Sometimes they demonstrate, but you know, a lot of that, you know, helping parents understand, you know, that the brain structures in children aren't really fully developed until 20 something.
Right? Mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, so, but still, so recognizing that, but also not letting that sort of be a, oh, you get a free pass or, you know, get out of jail free card in Monopoly kind of situation, where you can still help your children be wise decision makers, mm-hmm. but there are certain things that they need from you in order to do that. I think I also suspect to some extent we'll probably spend some time talking about things like helicopter parenting or this newer term that I've heard recently, lawnmower parenting. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Tell us what that is.
Yeah, lawnmower parenting. Apparently it's when you mow down all the problems that your kids might face. Or mow down the barriers.
Yeah, which is interesting because that 8th phase of brain development is really impactful on problem solving. So if you're having someone solve all your problems for you and the decision making that comes with problem solving and critical thinking, it really could hinder brain development, or it can hinder, you know, someone's ability to thrive and to develop, to grow. That's really interesting. I love that you'll be focusing on those topics. And I think that's something that for service providers that a lot of our professional development trainings are focusing on too. So to have it also being addressed with parents in a strength-based way can really bubble wrap maybe the future generation without being a lawnmower, if you will. We're really looking at what promotes and hinders healthy brain development with like nutrition and wellness and family dynamics and really those communication strategies and the parent-child relationship that you talked about overall is an emphasis on the Thrive Initiative. So that's really wonderful to hear from where we're sitting. We already talked about branch out and having the middle school for parents of 10 to 14-year-olds and then the high school for 15 to 18. Did you want to talk any more about branch out?
I don't think so.
Okay. Do y'all have a tentative date of when you think that will be launched or not yet?
And we've definitely learned through the development process of programs is that they always manage to take longer than you think they're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many pieces to it that I don't think as a typical consumer of the program, you ever really stop and realize just how many pieces are involved in pulling it together and getting it off the ground. And, you know, and we're talking about it, you know, we're the sort of the scientists, if you will, that are thinking about it from the curriculum standpoint and these sorts of things. But then there's this whole other world here at the Clearinghouse. We have these learning design, we call them learning design. There's this whole other world. And these are the people who translate all of the things we're thinking and all the research and make it somehow magically work on the internet. And that has its own set of frustrations and challenges and
timelines
and coding and all sorts of things. So always hard to say definitively when those things will happen. But I think we can definitively say that Branch Out will be, like many of the other programs, it will be delivered primarily through the online platform.
Right. Well, we've already touched on a lot of ways that Thrive as a parenting program differs from other parenting programs, one being kind of that online format. But do you want to speak or kind of reiterate in what ways that Thrive differs from other parenting programs?
Yeah, I think there's several ways. Our use of online technologies, I think, is one thing that makes it a bit unique, although I think a lot of programs are moving in that direction these days. Mm-hmm. Still, I think our commitment to utilizing online platforms and our commitment to utilizing them in really efficient ways. And so, you know, for example, in Grow, we have videos, but in Take Root, we have whiteboard animations. And there's just all sorts of different technological things you can do to really try to help reinforce and communicate the content and the point to parents. And we're really trying to utilize all of those things. And I think that our commitment to technology will continue to evolve as technology evolves. Don't know exactly what that will look like, but it's kind of a bedrock, I think, of what we're trying to do with these programs, because one of the things we're most interested in is reach. We want these programs to be able to reach the largest number of parents that they possibly can. And we recognize that you are delivering programs through face-to-face methods and you have facilitator trainings and all of those things, that you start encountering issues with cost of training, you start encountering issues of limited geography, you start encountering the issues of participants having barriers getting there. Maybe they don't have a car, or it's not convenient with their work schedule or their childcare schedule. So that online atmosphere really opens things up and really frees things on the participant side, but it also frees things on the developer side too, as it kind of helps to cut costs and some other limitations that you might encounter. So our commitment there, I think, is unique. I think also our big emphasis on health promotion is a really unique feature of all of the Thrive programming. A lot of parenting programs, I would say the vast majority of evidence-based parenting programs really come out of the mental health field.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, they tend to focus a lot more on mental health outcomes. And so they're focusing on internalizing behaviors or externalizing behaviors, or, you know, just general parenting practices and sense of competence and these sorts of things. And those are all really good things. And we focus on those things too. But I think there's a growing recognition among scholars that parents impact all areas of their child's life. They impact their emotional development. They impact their social development, they impact their cognitive development, and they impact their physical development. And so helping parents understand the role that they play in supporting their child's healthy physical development, I think it's an area that's been missing from parenting programs for a while. And for a little while, there's been a call for more programs to move in that direction and incorporate health promotion with general parenting. And I think that's something that we do really well with our Thrive programs. I think as we meet that need, and we do it in a way that's strengths-based. You know, and I think that's a really important direction that the field is moving in, because for so long, the parenting field and the parenting education field, I guess, in particular, kind of operated from a deficit perspective. You know, well, you're not doing a good job as a parent here. Let me, an expert, come in and tell you how to do a better job. Right. Whereas the Thrive Initiative is really built around the idea that all parents have strengths.
Right.
There's something that they're all doing well, but we can all improve. We can all build on those strengths. And so we talk a lot about building on the strengths you already have and helping parents kind of identify what their strengths are and kind of where they want to go and what they want to see and what they want to do. And what we're finding, and I think what a lot of people in our position are finding, is that by and large, the vast majority of parents, they want to be good parents.
Yeah.
They have really good goals and expectations for their kids. They want their kids to be happy and to be healthy. But all parents need support to some extent. I think that's the great thing about our programs, is the flexibility that's there, that those programs are able to come in and say, hey, no matter where you're at, everybody can use support. So use these programs flexibly. Figure out where you're at and figure out how this program can help you accomplish your goals and get you where you want to be and accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in your family. And I think another really important point of our programs is that they are available at no cost. And as we've already stated, there's no expiration. And that seems to be really unique, I think, among a lot of...
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of parenting programs seem to be proprietary, and so you have to pay to access the material, but the payment... And I don't mean to be disparaging towards them in any way, shape, or form, so I hope it's not coming across that way, but the payment... You know, it's like a subscription. You have to keep paying it if you want to continue to have access mm-hmm. to that. And that can be prohibitive to some parents who sure. may not have the financial means to be able to access that material. So I think it's important that there are high quality resources out there that are available at no cost so that all parents really are able to access those things and benefit from them.
I really appreciate you all taking the time to talk to us today. And we're really looking forward to this episode, jumpstarting the Thrive webinar series. I think that if, you know, people who listen have never heard of Thrive before, this gives them a really nice foundation that where they can then kind of follow through the two webinars that we have planned this upcoming year to really then delve in deeper and be able to see what Thrive provides so that they, as service professionals or whoever even attends our webinars, it may be parents too, can really see what Thrive can offer for parents. So I appreciate you giving this overview and we're excited about this series. I hope you all are too.
We are. Yeah, no. Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely. Think it's great. It's going to help get the word out about the programming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
That's very exciting.
As we mentioned earlier, in October 2019, MFLN Family Development and Early Intervention teams are hosting the Thrive webinar series. Both Ryan and Terry will join us to highlight the first three Thrive programs mentioned today: Sprout, Take Root, and Grow. You can find more information about this webinar series on today's episode website. We'll also include links to many of the websites and the resources mentioned in the conversation with Ryan and Terry.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you'd like to hear more episodes from Anchored, check out the links provided on our website, or you can go directly to iTunes. Just enter MFLN Anchored Podcast in your search engine to get you there. We offer continuing education credits for most of our programming. Information about that can be found on our website, or you can just email our team at mflnfamilydevelopment@gmail.com. We hope you will join us next time. This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy. U.S. Department of Defense award number is 2015-48770-24368.